We're talking 20 miles here. That's not a quick jog around the park to alleviate some stress. His body is not strong enough for this at the moment.
I freaked out when you weren't here.
I kind of got that, I say with only a slight dash of sarcasm. He shifts his hands to my hips and tweaks my hip bone. I jerk.
You should have told me, he says sternly.
I was always coming back, I assure him. I can't be joined at your hip. And he can't be running a marathon every time we're apart. He snuggles deeper into the crook of my neck.
I wish you bloody could be, he grumbles. You've had a drink.
I suddenly feel awkward, uneasy. Have you eaten? I ask, not knowing what else to say. He's probably burned off 1,000,000 calories running like Forrest Gump.
I'm not hungry.
You need to eat, Jesse, I moan. I'll make you something. He tightens his grip on me.
Soon. I'm comfy.
So I let him be comfy for a while. I sit on his lap, my dress clinging to my body, my hair sopping wet, and just let him hold me. It can't be like this every time we're apart. I'll never settle. We most certainly haven't turned a corner, and I'm sorely disappointed. I hate this song, I say quietly, after we've sat in a tight clinch for an age.
I love it. Reminds me of you.
It reminds me of a man I don't like.
I'm sorry.
He nips at my neck, drawing his tongue up the length to my jawbone.
My arse is dead, he mumbles.
I'm comfy, I mock. He moves his hand and grasps my hip bone, causing me to flinch and yelp. Stop, I cry. I need to feed you.
Yes, you do. And I want my Ava, stripped naked and lying on our bed, so I can binge on her.
He stands himself up with me wrapped around his body, and with little effort, considering his injured hand and depleted body.
My Ava? That's fine.
Our bed? I will file that away for now. I'm all for that, but I need to feed my man. Food now, loving later.
Loving now, food later, he challenges as he walks us out of the shower and positions me on the vanity unit.
Where's your bandage? He picks up a bath sheet up from the pile on the shelf and starts rubbing the wetness from my hair with his good hand.
It was getting in my way.
He drapes the towel around my back and uses the corners to pull me into him, kissing me hard on the lips. I catch him wince. Please let me feed you. He pulls back on a little pout.
Okay, food now, loving later.
He smirks and nuzzles our noses, then kisses my forehead.
Come on, you need some dry clothes.
He goes to lift me off the unit, but I brush him away.
Hey!
He scowls at me. Your hand. It's never going to heal if you're hoofing me all over the place. I jump down, kick off my sodden ballet pumps, and undo the side zip of my dress before pulling it over my head. I'm then thrown up over his shoulder and carried out of the bathroom.
I like hoofing you about, he declares, chucking me onto the middle of the bed. Where's your stuff?
In the spare room. He makes a point of demonstrating his disgust with an audible grumble before he stalks out of the room and returns moments later with all of my things spread between his good hand, under his arms, and in his mouth. He dumps it all on the bed.
There.
I reach into my bag and retrieve some clean knickers and my oversized black sweatshirt. But my comfortable cotton knickers are soon snatched out of my hand. I frown as I watch him rifle through my bag and pull out a pair of lace replacements. He hands them to me.
Always in lace.
He nods in approval of his own demand, and I comply without hesitation or complaint, putting the lace knickers on
and then my oversized jumper. I watch as Jesse ditches his wet shorts and swaps them for a blue jersey pair, seeing new definition in his back and arms as his muscles roll and flex when he pulls them up. I sit and admire from my position on the bed before he picks me up again and carries me down to the kitchen. First, I turn the music off on a little shudder, and then I stand in front of the fridge scanning the shelves. "What do you want?" "I don't mind. I'll have what you're having." He comes up from behind and reaches past me to grab a jar of peanut butter, dropping his lips to my neck. "Put that back." I make a grab for the jar, but he evades me and beats a hasty retreat to the bar stool, shoves the jar under his arm to unscrew the cap, before dipping his finger in to scoop a big dollop out. He smirks at me as he slides his finger into his mouth and forms an O with his lips as he pulls it out. "You're a child." I settle on chicken fillets, grabbing them from the fridge. "I'm a child because I like peanut butter," he asks over his finger. "No, you're a child because of the way you eat peanut butter. No one over the age of 10 should finger-dip jars, and, as I'm being kept in the dark over your age, I assume that you're over 10. I fire a disgusted look at him as I find the tin foil and wrap up the fillets with some Parma ham, then put them in an oven dish. "Don't knock it until you've tried it. Here." He thrusts his peanut butter-covered finger over the island and into my line of vision. I screw my face up. I detest peanut butter. "Pass," I say, putting the chicken in the oven. He shrugs and then licks it off himself. I get some sugar snap peas and new potatoes from the fridge and load them into the built-in vegetable steamer, then fiddle with a few knobs before it kicks into action. Lifting myself up onto the worktop, I watch him on a small smile. "Enjoying that?" He pauses mid-scoop and looks up at me. "I can eat the stuff until I feel sick." Another finger goes in. "Do you feel sick?" "No, not yet." "Do you want to stop now before you do and save some room for the well-balanced meal I'm making you?" I fight to prevent a grin. He doesn't. He smirks and slowly screws the lid back on. "Why, baby, are you nagging me?" "No," I correct him. "I don't ever want to be a nag. I'm asking you a question." He's watching me carefully, his eyes dancing. I shiver from top to toe. I know that look. "I like your sweatshirt," he says quietly, running his eyes down my front to my bare legs. "It's oversized, and it covers my bum. It's hardly sexy." "I like black on you."
"You do?"
"I do," he asserts quietly. He's trying to distract me again.
"It's Monday tomorrow," I say positively.
I don't know why I choose that tone. "And?" He folds his arms over his chest. I drum my fingers on the worktop next to me.
"And nothing. I was just wondering what you might have planned."
A fleeting look of panic sweeps over his stubbled face.
"What have you got planned?"
"Work," I answer, watching as he starts chewing his bottom lip and those bloody cogs start turning again.
"Don't even think about it. I've important meetings to keep," I warn, before he has a chance to spit out what I know he's thinking. "Just one day?"
He pouts at me playfully, but I know he's deadly serious. I'm bracing myself for a countdown or a sense fuck.
"No, you must have lots to catch up on at the manor," I affirm assertively.
He has a business to run, and he's been unconscious for a whole working week. John can't be expected to run things forever.
"I suppose so," he grumbles.
I mentally cheer. No countdown? No sense fuck? We really are moving forward.
"Oh, Clive said there was a woman here earlier."
"He did?"
He looks surprised.
He said she was trying to get up to the penthouse. She wouldn't give her name, and you didn't answer your phone when Clive tried to call you. Blonde woman, mature, wavy hair. I watch for his reaction, but he just frowns.
I'll have a word with him. Is my well-balanced meal ready yet?
That's it. You'll have a word with Clive. Who was it? I ask as I get down from the worktop to check the steamer.
No idea.
He jumps up himself and gets some cutlery from the drawer.
You really don't have any idea?
I ask doubtfully, while removing the chicken from the oven and putting it in the pan to finish it off.
Ava, I really have no idea, but I assure you, I will speak to Clive and see if I can establish who she was. Now feed your man.
He sits back down and holds his knife and fork in his hands upright from the counter. I go about serving up and present him with the first meal I've ever made for him. I hate cooking. He tucks straight in.
Yum,
he mumbles around a mouthful of chicken.
How was your day with your brother?
Fine, I answer, sitting next to him.
Just fine? This is really good.
It's good to see him eat something other than peanut butter. He's like a different man again. So confident and self-assured, but in the next breath he's falling to pieces. Do I really have that much of an impact on him?
We had a great day. We did Madame Tussauds and went to dinner at our favorite Chinese. Tussauds?
Yeah, it's our thing, I shrug.
It's nice to have a thing.
He sounds sincere.
You've eaten already?
He looks at my plate and I blush.
Are you eating for two?
He asks, looking up at me.
I nearly choke on a potato.
No! I splutter around my food.
Stop worrying, I grumble, returning to my dinner.
He continues eating while making appreciative sounds around his fork every now and again. I would think he might be taking the piss, but I've tasted it. It's good. Once we're done, I load the dishwasher, and my thoughts start drifting. Him brushing off the mystery visitor is eating away at me. He's being vague, and it's bothering me. I turn to challenge him and crash straight into his hard, naked chest.
Oh!
He towers over me, breathing hard, and my eyes well to his huge erection tenting the front of his jersey shorts.
Lose the sweatshirt, he demands, his voice low and husky.
I look up into his green eyes and wisely note that he's not in a fucking about mood. I grasp the hem of my sweatshirt and slowly draw it up over my head, then drop it to the ground. He runs his eyes appreciatively down my body, over my exposed breasts, and settles his gaze on the juncture of my thighs.
You're impossibly beautiful, and all mine.
He links his fingers into the top of my knickers and slowly drags them down my legs, falling to his knees as he does. He taps to lift my foot and then repeats on the other before wrapping his big hands around my ankles. His eyes find mine.
I think I'll let you come first.
His voice is gravelly.
Then I'm going to rip you clean in half.
I gasp at his fierce promise as he runs his palms the full length of my legs, from my ankles to the back of my thighs, and then yanks me onto his waiting mouth. His invasion of me reduces me to a moaning mess in his grasp as he works his tongue over every part of me, expertly, meaningfully. My hands find his hair, and my hips roll onto his mouth, with no encouragement from my brain. My head falls back. Oh, shit, I groan, the thrum at my sex accelerating into a constant vibration.
Mouth,
he mumbles against my flesh, which only serves to propel me that little bit closer to utter ecstasy. I feel one of his hands move from the back of my leg
and slide up the inside of my thigh. His finger slips inside me, and on a desperate cry, I release his head to lean back on the worktop for support. His circling finger stretching me and brushing my front wall on each rotation. I'm buzzing, my muscles grabbing onto his finger greedily.
"Tell me when, Ava."
He replaces one finger with two and pushes deeper into me. That, and the vibration of his lips on my clitoris, finishes me off. "That's it," I cry, pushing my hips forward onto his mouth in an attempt to take the edge off the peak. I'm wiped out from the onslaught of his mouth, and I sag against the worktop on a violent round of shakes, my heart clattering in my chest as he reins in his rhythm and laps gently, letting me drift down on a long, satisfied sigh. "You're too good." I drop my head down to find his eyes. He looks up, but keeps his mouth on me, circling gently and thrusting his fingers lazily in and out.
"I know," he gloats. "Aren't you lucky?"
I shake my head at his self-assuredness as I watch him slowly crawl up my body, trailing his tongue as he goes. When he reaches my nipple, he bites it lightly, and then clasps his arm under my bum, lifting me so I'm eye level with him.
"Are you ready to be fucked good and proper, baby?"
"Knock yourself out," I challenge, draping my arms over his shoulders. He smashes his lips against mine possessively and attacks my mouth. When he's like this, I forget about his weak moments, the moments when I'm comforting him, holding him, and reassuring him. Not at the moment, though. Right now, he's brutally sexy and domineering. I love it, and I've really, really missed it. He keeps our mouths fused as he carries me out of the kitchen, toward the gym, and kicks the door open, setting me on my feet as he leans down to maintain our kiss and accommodate our height difference. He bites my bottom lip gently and starts walking forward, prompting me to step back in time with his advance, and after a few steps, he stops and kisses up to my ear, his hot breath igniting all of my senses. I'm mentally begging for him.
"Fancy a workout?"
he whispers. "What did you have in mind?" I nuzzle my cheek into him as he laps at my ear, causing the heartbeat at my core to kick in again, subtle and slow. He steps back from me, and the absence of his warm body in front of mine leaves me chilly, wanting to pull him back to me. He's watching me with promising, lust-filled eyes as he reaches for his shorts and pushes them down his legs, his arousal springing free. I gasp. I don't know why, I've seen it enough times, but it still makes my breath hitch. I glide my eyes up, past his scar, and to his perfect pecs. I will never tire of staring at the fine physique of the man standing in front of me. Not ever. He's a work of art, carefully sculptured and polished to complete perfection. He nods behind me, and I slowly pivot, but all I see is the rowing machine and his punch bag, so I turn back and face him. His face is completely impassive, and he slowly nods again, indicating that what he has in mind is indeed behind me. It dawns on me. He said he was going to rip me in half. Oh, good Lord! "Oh," I whisper. He starts walking slowly toward me, and the potential of his intention has me fidgeting on the spot. Taking my hand, he leads me to the rowing machine, and then lowers his big naked body so he's sitting on the seat. His erection stands up vertically from his body, and the prospect of this scenario suddenly has me panting with anticipation. I'm tugged forward to stand in front of him, and he reaches forward with his injured hand to guide my leg over the runner so I'm straddling his legs. I look down at him, my heart kicking into its maximum speed limit,
as I wait for his next instruction. He reaches up and cups my breasts with his big palms and softly, slowly massages them until they ache with heaviness. I don't miss the small wince on his face, but he doesn't stop, and I'm not about to try and stop him myself. My head rolls back and my lips part, letting out short, rapid rushes of air. "Ava, you fucking kill me," he says quietly. I pull my head down so our eyes meet. "I love you," he whispers, sliding his hands down to rest on my hips. I jerk, and the corner of his mouth twitches. "I love how you flinch when I touch you here." He circles his index fingers in the sensitive hollows. I struggle to keep my legs steady. "I love how wet you are for me here." He slides his finger into me and I moan. "I love how you taste." He slips his finger into his mouth and pulls it out slowly while he watches me. Then, taking my hand again, he tugs me toward him and guides me down onto his waiting arousal. I cry out when he impales me, the thick hardness of him completely spearing me. He rests his forehead against mine. "I love how it feels to be inside you." He locks his hands around my lower back. "Wrap your legs around me." I hook my legs around his waist and loop my ankles, pulling myself in closer to him. His breath falters as I reach forward and place my hands on the front of his shoulders. "I love you," he states firmly as he begins to slide us slowly forward on the seat, the abrupt halt at the end of the runner causing me to jerk slightly on a small cry. His eyes clench shut. Yes, now I'm beginning to see the benefits of this. His penetration is deep, but it won't take many of these slides and hits to have me begging to let go. When he opens his eyes, I lower my mouth to his, and he accommodates my demand for mouth contact. I love his mouth. I love what he can do with his mouth. I love the words and the tones that come out of his mouth. I love the way he chews his bottom lip when deliberating something important to him. "I love you," I say against his lips. He pulls back, his handsome face looking content. "I can't tell you how happy that makes me." He slowly slides us back up the runner. "Do you need me?" I brace myself for the jolt that I know will come, and when it does, we both moan together. "I need you." "That makes me happy too." "Again." He's already on his way back down the runner. "Please." We jolt again at the end of the line, and the ache in my stomach transforms into a slow climb to climax. We're traveling back up the runner a bit faster this time. Jolt. "Oh, I know," he whispers. "More?" "Yes." I plunge my tongue into his mouth desperately. He slides us down slowly, but doesn't let it hit the end this time. Instead, he pushes off with his feet and sends us gliding up the runner. We hit the end with such force, our bodies collide hard, and I have to release his lips and bury my face in his shoulder on a choked scream. "Oh, shit!" He strains and repeats the same delicious move. Slide and hit. This is intense. I've never felt him so deep. I rest my mouth on his shoulder, resisting the urge to clamp onto him with my teeth, my hands moving onto the back of his head to hold myself steady as he slides us back down the runner, ready for another crash to the top. My insides are furling, and I can feel him twitching and kicking inside me. He catapults us back up the runner, and when we hit the top, my teeth sink into his shoulder, and I cry out in pure, exquisite pleasure, "Fuck Ava." I release my teeth and kiss my bite mark as we descend again. "Get your teeth back into my shoulder."
I do as I'm bid and moan against him as I bite his shoulder on a crash.
"Shit, I'm going to come," he yells, letting us roll back down the runner. "You ready?"
"Yes." I wrap my mouth around his shoulder and clamp my teeth lightly, ready for his assault. He lets loose. There are no more controlled movements.
He slides and crashes us relentlessly as I clamp onto him with my teeth and fingernails. The intensity of his muscled length pounding me deeply has me screaming his name against his shoulder. I start to feel fireworks fizzing as he continues with the slides and hits, pushing me toward ultimate detonation. The relentless throbbing and beating of his erection deep inside me has me sprinting to the finish, and I'm gone, pushed into ecstasy on a loud crash and cry from both of us. I sink my teeth in once more, sending Jesse into a bucking fit as his hips fly up and he shouts loudly, "Oh my God!" I'm still pulsing and riding out my orgasm when I'm vaguely aware of being gently rocked back and forth, the slight motion draining everything he has to give me. I pull my face away from his shoulder and plant a kiss on the bite mark.
"You're a savage, lady."
He twists his head to take a look at himself, and then his eyes flick to mine. Taking possession of my mouth, he kisses me deeply, and I squeeze him in my arms, joining him in his blissful oblivion. I could stay like this forever, completely encased in Jesse. "I'm going to take you to bed and sleep all night buried deep inside you." He slowly begins to lift, keeping us connected. "Kiss me now," he commands, as he starts striding out of the gym with me wrapped around his waist. I run my hands through his hair and gently yank it before slowly lowering my lips to his.
"Savage," he says against my lips.
I smirk and open my eyes as he takes the stairs, finding him staring at me as our tongues dance leisurely between our mouths. I hold his eyes with mine the entire way to the bedroom, where he lowers me to the bed under him. I can feel him hardening inside me again. This man is relentless. Hooking his arm under my lower back, he shifts me up the bed until my head finds a pillow, our mouths and bodies remaining locked for the whole journey.
"Stay with me," he says, pulling back and brushing my hair away from my face.
He studies me intently, his eyes sparkling with satisfaction at having me in his arms. "I'm here."
"Move in with me."
He drops his face and circles my nose with his. Does this man know the meaning of the word gradual? He's being a bit hasty, and we still haven't discussed any of the more important stuff, like the manner and work and his challenging ways.
"I want you here when I go to sleep."
He licks my bottom lip.
"And I want you here when I wake up. Starting and ending my day with you is all I need."
I'm fully aware that if I don't give the answer he wants, I'm facing an attack of the sulks, or a sense fuck, and I don't want to spoil this moment. I need this moment.
"Don't you think this is all a bit soon?" I ask.
He pulls his face up, his expression not quite sulky, but well on its way.
"You obviously do."
"It's been 2 days," I try to reason with him. He frowns.
"2 days since what?"
He lifts his torso up and slips out from me a little, planting his forearms into the mattress on either side of my head. He plunges forward, and my breath catches in my throat.
"I want this every morning and every night."
He smirks, knowing damn well what he's doing to me. He's going to hit me with a sense fuck.
"And maybe a bit in between."
He lazily pulls back and slowly pushes forward again. I clench my eyes closed.
I'm not fooled that he's about to make love to me.
Maybe if I agree, I'll get gentle Jesse. But I'm really not sure about living with him.
You only want me for my body, I feign shock on a rushed breath.
He gasps and drives long and controlled into me.
You don't want this.
I throw my head back and moan.
You don't play fair, Mr. Ward.
He withdraws slowly.
Say yes, he shouts as he pounds forward, knocking the wind right out of me, forcing my arms to fly back to brace myself on the headboard. Have I got to fuck some sense into you, Ava? Oh, here it comes. He's going to fuck some sense into me that makes no sense at all. Moving in with him? It's way too soon. My muscles tighten, and my blood heats, sailing through my veins at a ridiculous speed. I hate that he does this to me. All sensibility is well and truly derailed. No, I snap, and he thunders into me again, grunting as he does. He reaches forward with his bad hand and slides his palm under the back of my head, pulling me up to face him. I'm not sure if the scowl on his face is because he's mad or because his hand is hurting. Say it, he orders, and then charges forward again. I'm not going to give in on this. It really is too soon. He won't stop this. He's too far gone himself. No, I state firmly and precisely on a pant. He growls and hammers forward, pounding mercifully into me. I grip onto him with the muscles of my womb as he forces me farther up the bed. Fucking hell, say it, Ava, he roars. A bead of sweat trails down his temple and his frown line jumps into position. No! Ava! His shout echoes around the bedroom before he smashes our mouths together viciously. I buck and writhe under his forceful body and greedy mouth as my pending release simmers low in my groin. You like that? He gasps against my mouth as he persists with his relentless pounds. Yes! You want this every day? Yes! He yanks my hair tighter and grinds his lips harder. Say it then. I feel the wound-up coil snapping inside me as I fly into a bottomless pit of pure pleasure beneath him. All reason is lost as he takes ownership of my body, soul, and mind. Yes! 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 Fucking hell, yes! I scream. Watch your fucking mouth! His booming voice is piercing as he joins me in my pleasure and releases my hair before punching his fist into the mattress. That had to hurt. He pushes himself into me as deep as he can and holds himself there, his head rolling back. He groans. I feel his hot release pumping deep into me, and I bring my hands down from the headboard to rest on his chest. His head drops, his eyes find mine, and he slowly circles his hips against me, easing us both down. That wasn't so hard, was it? His voice is hoarse and dry. I smooth his solid chest under my palms. I was under the influence, I say, and then mentally slap myself for my poor choice of words. He can't hold me to this, surely. But then I realize this is Jesse, my unreasonable control freak. He can and he will. He smiles a glorious full smile and kisses me tenderly, then rolls us over so I'm sprawled across this chest. His finger traces the column of my spine, and he smooths my hair. I snuggle happily into him. I can't be with you every second of the day, I say, though how I feel right now, it's tempting. Why wouldn't I want this day and night, and a little bit in between as well? He exhales long and wearily. I know you can't. I wish you could. I have a job, a life. I want to be your life. You are, I argue softly. He can be so vulnerable and delicate, and I know I'm the answer to that. It's miles away from the domineering brute who just fucked some sense into me. Is it sense, though? Or just pure craziness?
Chapter 7. I'm freezing cold, and I wince at the invasion of light that's attacking my eyes as I open them and bolt upright in bed. Where is he? I brush my hair out of my face, jump out of bed, and rush into the bathroom. He's not there. In a blind panic, I hot-foot it downstairs and skid to a stop at the kitchen entrance. Morning. He puts his coffee down and gets up from the island, walking casually toward me. It's like I'm looking at a different man. Have I dreamt the last couple of days? He's clad in a charcoal grey suit, crisp white shirt, and a soft pink tie. He's clean-shaven, his messy blonde hair has been manipulated to the side, and his green eyes are twinkling in delight. He looks stunning.
Morning, I stutter.
He reaches for me and wraps an arm around my waist, then hoists me off my feet and up to his lips.
Sleep well?
He brushes his mouth against mine.
I hum.
I'm staggered. I was sure that I would be set for battle this morning with Mr. Challenging.
You see, this is exactly why I want you here morning, noon, and night, he muses.
Why? So he can do this every morning? Maybe moving in with him wouldn't be such a bad idea after all.
He lets me slide down his front, then stands back to look me up and down, clasping his newly shaved chin with his bad hand and arching a brow on a mild grin. Oh, fucking hell, I'm naked.
Shit, I turn and make a hasty retreat to the stairs, but I don't get very far. He catches me halfway up, wrapping his arm around my waist and lifting me from my feet.
Watch your mouth.
He takes me back to the kitchen, sitting me on the breakfast bar.
Oh,
I yelp, as the coldness of the marble spreads across my bare backside. He laughs and separates my thighs before settling himself between them.
I want you to come down for breakfast every morning just like this.
He trails his finger from my knee to the apex of my thighs. I'm more than awake now. I'm tense, too.
You're confident I'm going to be here every morning,
I say as casually as any woman can, when a godlike creature is lightly brushing his forefinger across her pubic hair. He can't hold me to things when I've agreed to them mid-orgasm. He's fighting a grin.
I am confident, because you said yes.
Or was it? He looks up to the ceiling in deep thought, and then back at me.
Oh, I remember.
It was, yes, 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 fucking hell, yes. The corner of his mouth lifts cheekily, as he slips his finger inside me. I was caught at a weak moment. I can't hide the lust in my voice. He's got me. He circles his thumb over my clitoris, and my leg muscles start aching. I shift on the worktop slightly to give him better access. I'm so bloody easy.
Do I need to remind you why it was a good decision?
He asks, and then takes my lips, trading one finger for two, and plunging straight into me, whipping me into a desperate wanton state. No, he doesn't. It's nonsensical, but I'll take the reminder. I grab his suit jacket, clench my fists, and moan into his mouth. I feel him grin against my lips before he releases them and pushes me down on the worktop. The coldness of the marble radiates through me, but I'm beyond caring. I need him. Again. With his eyes burning into mine, he undoes his belt and trousers urgently, then yanks his boxers down, freeing his morning erection.
In a coordinated set of moves, he clasps me under my thighs and pulls me forward onto his waiting cock.
"This is another reason," he growls, pulling back and then hurling forward.
"Oh, God, Jesse!" I drop my head back onto the worktop and arch my back into him. Oh, good Lord, he has the moves. He starts a punishing rhythm of drives that have me clamping my hands on the edge of the worktop to stop myself riding up the marble. His breathing is hard and loud, and he lets a gruff bawl escape his lips on each advance.
"Fuck, you feel perfect, baby."
He rams forward again, hitting me hard, a despairing yelp bursting from my mouth. I don't know what to do with myself. He's relentless with his momentum as he charges forward over and over and over. I'm dizzy. He places his hand on my breast and massages hard, all in time with his solid thrusts.
"Remember yet?"
he barks, but I can't answer. Speech has totally evaded me. With each powerful drive, he's edging me closer and closer. I inhale and hold my breath as I reach the summit.
"Answer the question, Ava," he demands. "Now."
"Yes."
"You're staying with me?"
His grip of my breast tightens, his hips powering forward relastlessly. Oh God, Jesse!
"Answer the fucking question, Ava."
His unremitting blows are sending me wild, my head spinning, my core trembling violently.
"Yes!"
I scream on a rushed release of air as I'm rocketed skyward in a deliriously wonderful sensation of satisfaction, buzzing from top to toe, my back arching, my body in fits of spasms.
"Oh, yes!"
He collapses on top of me, pinning me to the worktop. I flop my arms above my head on an exhausted sigh and let my muscles naturally contract around him as we lie panting and sweating on the island. I'm completely and utterly shattered. I could go back to bed, but I've got to go to work, and, not that I would admit it to Jesse, I really don't want to. I would rather he carry me upstairs and love me all day long, maybe longer. He lifts his head up to look at me.
"God, I fucking love you."
"I know you do. You've shaved," I breathe. I really could go back to bed. I feel like I've been on one of his torturous runs.
"You want me to grow it back?"
I reach up and run my palm down his newly smoothed face. "No, I like seeing all of you." He turns his face into my palm and kisses it, then pushes himself up and plants a kiss on my stomach before withdrawing from me to sort his trousers out. He stares down at me as he refastens his belt, then wipes his moist, lush lips with the back of his hand.
"I've got to go. Get out of my sight before I take you again."
He clasps my hand and pulls me off the counter before dropping a long, sensual kiss on my lips.
"Now."
I debate, remaining exactly where I am. I want more, but he seems content with getting on with his day without me, and that has to be a good thing. I don't want to derail him, so I saunter off butt naked and well aware that he's watching me. I stop at the archway and turn to face him, finding him standing with his hands in his pockets, his eyes twinkling. He's studying me very carefully. "Have a nice day," I smile, reaching down and running my finger over my moist cleft and then up to my mouth. Oh, I really am a little temptress.
"Fuck off, Ava,"
he warns. I grin and pivot, taking myself upstairs. I am such a slut, but I don't care. I'm pleasantly surprised by his happy persona this morning. I had been bracing myself for a challenge, trying to get myself out of the penthouse Jesse free. This is progress, I'm pleased.
It's Monday, and I have a lot of work to sort out. I feel powerful, and I need to power dress to enhance my confident attitude. Thank God Kate took the initiative to pack some work clothes. And my black sleeveless pencil dress. I shower and make the best job I can with my hair before slipping my dress on and grabbing my red heels on the way downstairs. But I come to an abrupt halt at the door. Shit. I haven't got my car, and some of the files I need are in there. I exit the penthouse hastily and race downstairs to find Clive taking a delivery outside the foyer. I run out into the sunshine toward him while putting my shades on.
Clive, I need a cab.
Ava, how are you this morning?
He beams at me.
Your transport is here.
My transport?
He points toward a black Range Rover, and I see John leaning against the hood on his phone. He has his customary shades on and his black suit, and he nods at me, as per his usual greeting. I start walking toward him, but remember something and swing back to face Clive.
Did Jesse speak to you about the visitor he had yesterday?
No, Ava.
Clive makes his way back to his desk.
I thought not.
I carry on my way, and as I approach John, I catch the tail end of his conversation.
She's here, Jesse. I'll be there soon.
His rumbling voice always makes him sound like he's in a bad mood. He hangs up and nods at the car, his indication that he wants me to get in, so I take myself around the front and climb in. If I weren't in such a rush, I would probably complain.
Why are you here? I ask as I settle in the passenger seat.
Jesse asked me to take you to work.
He doesn't sound impressed.
I need to get my car. Do you mind? It's at Kate's. She lives in Notting Hill.
He nods his acceptance, lets his window down, and leans his arm on the frame. He looks like one mean motherfucker.
Did you get the gate sorted? I ask.
His face turns slowly toward me, and I see his forehead slightly wrinkled, an indication that he's frowning. I hold his stare, but he still doesn't answer.
The gates of the manor, I prompt. They malfunctioned last Sunday.
He starts nodding and turns his face back to the road.
All sorted, girl.
I bet they are. The niggling need to push this is irritating, but if there is one thing I know about John, it's that he isn't a big talker. We travel in silence, except for John's humming, and he drops me at Kate's.
Thanks, John,
I call, jumping out of his car.
So good,
he rumbles, and he's gone. It's 8. I have time, so I run up the path to Kate's house. I head straight through to find her beating a gigantic bowl of sugar and butter.
Hey!
I dunk my finger in her bowl. She swats it with her spoon.
Out! I've got so much to do. I got absolutely nothing done yesterday.
She's really flustered, which is a million miles away from her usual calm and collected facade.
Oh, yeah?
I smirk.
Fun,
she snaps, tipping flour onto the measuring scales. I make the sensible decision to leave it right there.
How's your brother?
She asks.
He's good.
I won't go into too many details.
Jesse?
She asks, her tongue hanging out as she bends down to gauge the scales.
Yeah.
I flop down into one of the tub chairs. She straightens up and looks at me questioningly. I haven't got time at the moment to go into too many details. There is far too much to get her opinion on.
Ava?
I sigh. He wants me to move in. I said yes. But that's only because he fucked some so-called sense into me after I said no. He followed it up with a reminder fuck this morning. Kate gapes at me.
Wow!
I laugh.
Yes. Isn't it a bit soon?
The question shocks me, but I'm glad she's of the same mindset as me.
I think so. He wants me day and night, and a little bit in between.
He's bad enough already with his demands, control, and worrying.
Have you told him that?
She tosses the flour into the bowl and starts mixing again.
No.
Hey, what went down at the manor on Saturday night? And why didn't you answer any of my calls? She shoots her bright blues to mine.
Nothing, she barks defensively. I forgot to call you back.
I was referring to the police turning up, I say with a raised brow.
Oh,
she returns to mixing her cake, a little too frantically.
I don't know. Jessie turned up and the police left shortly after.
Hey, chick!
Sam's cheerful voice comes from the doorway, and we both look up in unison. He's completely naked, except for one of Kate's minuscule Kath Kitson aprons, and as he walks past me, my eyes drift, and I get a right eyeful of his tight, naked butt. I cough, looking anywhere and everywhere except at Sam.
Hi!
I wave a flappy hand in his direction, feeling my face burning up as I glance at Kate in desperation, silently begging her to do something about the cheeky sod.
Samuel, put some clothes on.
Kate scorns him on a small smile.
I've come to help,
he whines.
You've already put me way behind, Kate moans, slapping his naked rump with a spatula full of cake mixture. I hope you're going to dispose of that now.
I laugh. She shrugs and starts licking the spatula on a smile. Sam turns to face me with the biggest grin on his cheeky face, clearly enjoying my embarrassment too. And then he bends slightly, shoving his arse in Kate's face.
Now you're going to have to lick it all off.
I jump out of the tub chair in a complete fluster.
I'd better be going,
I blurt, my voice high and squeaky. I don't want to witness the impending clean-up operation of Sam's naked buttocks.
See ya,
Kate laughs, as I make my escape, not daring to look back for fear of what I might see. Kate's curt response to my inquiry about the manor is making my head spin. I don't even want to think what I'm thinking. I arrive at the office on time, to a huge bunch of calla lilies lying across my desk. I sigh. How does he arrange for flowers so quickly? I find the card. You're a savage and a tease. You drive me crazy. I love you. J. X. I drive him crazy. The man is delusional. I fire a quick text to him. I know you do. Flowers are beautiful. Thank you for the ride. To work. A. X. I settle at my desk and bring up my email and list of things to do, but I'm quickly distracted from my work when I remember that I've not taken my pill. I grab my bag from the floor and rummage through, but after a good few minutes of searching, I have my bag turned upside down on the desk and everything sprawled all over the place.
Shit, 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 please not again.
Morning, flower.
Patrick strolls into the office.
Morning.
I don't look up from my futile searching. I deserve a medal for being so bloody careless.
Nice flowers.
I don't miss his questioning tone.
Oh, yes, my brother,
I blurt out quickly.
Oh, lovely,
he smiles, making his way to his office. My phone starts dancing across my desk, alerting me of a text.
You are beautiful, and I know you know. Cheeky, I miss you. J. X.
I melt all over my desk. I miss him too, but I'm now dreading having to go back to Dr. Monroe for the third time. This is ridiculous. With my phone in my hand, I decide I may as well get the one call I really don't want to make out of the way. I dial Matt, and it rings twice before he answers.
Ava!
He sounds pleased to hear from me. I could do with picking those bits up. I get straight to the point. If I didn't need my things, I wouldn't call him at all. Talking to him has me physically itching. I was with him for 4 years. How did this happen?
Of course.
Can I swing by after work on Thursday? Say 6-ish?
Sure, I look forward to it,
he replies cheerfully. I want to hiss down the phone. Why did you ring my parents, you worm? But I know he's probably expecting some sort of backlash from me. I'm not going to indulge him.
Great, see you then.
Why did I say that? It's not great at all.
Yeah, see you later.
He sounds almost smug. I shudder and hang up. If I could, I would send Kate around to get my things, but I know that will just end in tears and possible police intervention. I'll be in and out in 10 minutes. I can resist the urge to pound on him for that long.
You want a coffee, Ava?
I look up and see Sally fiddling with her ponytail. There's something different about her.
Please, did you have a good weekend, Sal?
She shuffles on the spot and blushes 10 shades of crimson, and then I notice that her high-necked blouses have been replaced with a scoop-neck top. Wow, Sal has great tits. Who would have thought?
I did thank you for asking, Ava.
She scuttles off to the kitchen. I grin to myself. Our dull, dreary Sal may have had some male action at the weekend. I put my phone down and start working through my files, ready for my appointment with Mr. Vanderhaus on Wednesday. As 10:30 approaches, I gather my things to go on a few site visits.
Sal, tell Patrick I've gone to check on a few sites. I'll be back about 4:30.
Will do,
she sings enthusiastically while filing some invoices.
Yep, she's definitely had some male interest.
Do men really have that impact on us women?
I pass Victoria and Tom at the door.
Darling, how was your weekend? Tom croons.
Great, I say, accepting his air kiss. I've got a dash. I'll be back about 4:30.
Excuse me,
Victoria barges past me.
What's up with her? I ask Tom.
Tom rolls his eyes.
Oh, bugger me if I know. She rang on Saturday declaring she was in love. Then I meet her this morning, and she has a face like a slapped arse.
Drew?
Tom shrugs.
She doesn't want to talk about it. Not a good sign. I'll see if I can pump any info out of her. Speak to you later.
I make my way to the tube and stop off at the chemist to replace my depleted gloss. I'm drawn to the vitamins, remembering reading about deficiency when I was doing my research on the internet about alcoholics. I read what feels like a million labels, then decide to speak to the pharmacist. After a vague chat, he recommends a few things, but strongly advises seeking medical help if I'm worried. Am I worried? Jesse insists he's not an alcoholic, and he certainly doesn't scramble for the hard stuff when he sees it. I buy the vitamins anyway. They can't hurt. When I'm walking up Kensington High Street, I hear Bill Withers singing Ain't No Sunshine from my bag. I smile and don't think twice about answering. I don't need him flying into panic over a few missed calls and bombarding me during my client visits. I need to keep him stable, and if that means a quick telephone conversation, then so be it.
Hey,
I greet. God, I miss you. He sounds so forlorn. It's only been 4 hours since he had me spread on the kitchen worktop.
Where are you? I ask.
At the manor. Everything is under control. I'm not needed here. Do you need me? I can't see him, but I know he's pouting.
Always.
I know that's what he wants to hear. Now? He asks hopefully.
Jesse, I'm at work.
I try not to sound tired, but I have a ridiculously busy day ahead of me.
I know, he grumbles dejectedly.
What are you doing at this precise moment?
I'm on my way to a client, and I've just got here, so I'll have to sign off.
He might not be needed at work, but I have a diary to keep.
Oh, okay.
He sounds so miserable, and I feel guilty for brushing him off.
I stop outside my destination and look up to the heavens.
I'll stay at yours tonight, I say, hoping this will placate him.
I would hope so. You live there. I roll my eyes.
Of course I do. I'll see you later.
You will. What time? He presses.
Six-ish?
Ish, he whispers. I love you, lady.
I know you do.
I hang up and make my way up the steps to the front door of Mr. and Mrs. Kent's new home.
Nice flowers!
I look up and see Victoria standing at my desk. She's less orange, but no less miserable than she was this morning.
Are you okay?
I ask, wondering if Tom managed to extract any information.
Not really.
Do you want to elaborate? I prompt.
She shrugs.
Not really. I try not to look bored, but it's bloody hard. I haven't the energy to tease information out of her. I get up and head for the kitchen to get some biscuits. I need a sugar hit. I find Sally washing up.
Hi, Ava,
she says happily. Now I really am prepared to push Sally for information. I'm dying to know what's put a huge smile on her face and provoked the introduction of scoop-neck tops.
What did you get up to at the weekend, Sal?
I ask casually as I dip into the biscuit tin. I catch her blushing again. I'm definitely onto something here. If she says she's done a cross-stitch and cleaned the windows, I'll hang myself.
Oh, you know, I went for a drink.
She's trying to sound casual and failing miserably.
I knew it.
Nice. Who with?
I feign disinterest. It's hard. I'm desperate to discover that our Sal, dull as dishwater, plaid skirt-wearing, high-necked bloused, office dog's body, is a dominatrix or something.
I had a date,
she says, maintaining her failing casual tone.
Really?
I blurt. That came out so wrong. I didn't mean to sound shocked, but I am.
Yes, Ava. I met him on the internet.
Internet dating? I've heard nothing but bad things about it. They look like underwear models on their profile pictures, but when they turn up, they're more akin to serial killers. Sal seems quite happy, though. Did it go well?
Yes!
She screams. I nearly choke on my biscuit. I've never seen her so animated.
He's perfect, Ava. He's taking me out again tomorrow.
Oh, Sal, I'm really happy for you.
So am I,
she sings.
I'm off now. Do you need anything else before I go?
No, you get going. I'll see you tomorrow.
She dances out of the kitchen, and I remain against the counter as I work my way through another three chocolate biscuits. When I pull up outside Luso, the gates open immediately. Jessie's car isn't here. I enter the foyer, weighed down with flowers and bags, and see Clive clicking various buttons on his high-tech surveillance system.
Hi, Clive.
He looks up and smiles.
Ava, how are you?
Rubbish. I've had a ridiculously busy day. I want to shower, get into my sweats, and have a glass of wine. I can do none of those things, and I'm pissed off that Jesse's made a big fuss about me being here, and he's not even here himself.
Tired, I mumble, heading for a big, sumptuous sofa. I might fall asleep.
Here, Mr. Ward left this for you.
I look up and see Clive holding up a pink key.
He left me a key.
So he knew he wouldn't be here, and he didn't even ring to tell me. I walk over to Clive and take the key.
When did he go?
Clive continues clicking and switching, while studying the monitors.
He dropped by at around 5 to leave it.
Did he say when he would be back?
Am I just expected to hang around and wait?
Not a word, Ava.
Clive doesn't bother looking up at me.
Did he ask you about the woman who stopped by?
No, Ava.
He almost sounds bored. He didn't ask because he bloody knows, and he's going to tell me. I leave Clive playing with his equipment and make my way up to the penthouse, letting myself in with my pink key and heading straight to the kitchen. I go to the fridge and yank the door open, and I'm immediately confronted with rows and rows of bottled water. I shut the fridge door with more force than it deserves. It's not the fridge's fault there's no wine in it. I sit myself on a bar stool and gaze around the immense kitchen that I designed. I love it, and never in a million years did I imagine that I would have the opportunity to live here. Now I have, though. I'm really not sure about it. I love him, but I fear living with him will just encourage his controlling behavior and challenging ways. Or would he be better, more reasonable? My stomach does a little flip and a growl, reminding me that I should really get something to eat. I've only picked on a few biscuits today. It's no wonder I feel exhausted. I'm just about to convince myself to lift my tired ass from the stool when I hear the front door open, and a few moments later, Jesse walks into the kitchen looking as wiped out as I feel. He doesn't say anything for the longest time. He just stands there and looks at me, and I notice his hands shaking slightly, his brow looking damp. My craving for a glass of wine diminishes instantly. "Are you okay?" He slowly walks over and stands me up. Reaching down, he clasps the hem of my dress and pulls it up to my waist and then grabs me under my bum and lifts me up to straddle his waist. He buries his face in my hair and walks us out of the kitchen. I can feel his heartbeat clattering against my chest as I hold onto him while he takes the stairs silently with me in his arms. I want to ask him what's wrong. I've got lots of things to ask him, but he seems so despondent. He walks us to the bed and crawls on with me beneath him, settling on top